Okay, well, afternoon, everyone. I've probably got a couple more people that are joining as we go, but I will I'll enter them as we start. So thank you very much for giving up your afternoon and coming to our second webinar, following the success of the first one the other day with the foundation, the funding and grant. And just to give updates, we've already had around about £450,000 come into clubs through the government grant in Essex alone already. And I know the guys from Bedfordshire and Suffolk and Cambridge are here as well, had some success around that as well. So again, following on from last week and in your clubs, please stay in touch with the likes of Artfan and Graham in Essex around supporting you as clubs, but also Rob, Ben and Sam up in the other counties that are here with us today. So the idea with these is very much trying to get clubs to really use this opportunity to really sort of take this as a chance for us to reflect on our clubs, where they're situated within their communities, and looking at the opportunities that might come out of what we know is a challenging time, but it's going to create a new norm, as I heard today, around what we might look like once we start to go back into post-COVID period, I suppose we call it now. So today's is very much focused around the volunteers and safeguarding the game. So we will be spending the first sort of 10-15 minutes just looking at how we maybe support our volunteers in the game and opportunities around that within our clubs. And then the second half will be Phil Nappet just going around some safeguarding bits that are certainly coming up through, and things for clubs to think about and maybe just check through that point. We've also got Artfan on here, as some of you will know, and as those who might have used Zoom now, there is a chat box at the bottom, so please feel free to put any questions into that chat box. We will then round them up and answer two or three maybe at the end of this session. We will then put any other questions that aren't answered onto the website as well as a focus. And what I would suggest, if there's individual questions or personalised questions around your clubs, then please, as I say, use the guys from the counties that are on here. Very much this time to chat to you and follow up emails and support you as a club as we go through at that point. So first of all, with the volunteers, what we want to look at is basically ECB are putting together a new strategy around supporting volunteers. I think alongside funding, the number one that sort of always comes back from clubs is how do we get more people in to help our club and support our club? Or I'm the only one or two of us do everything around this club, so how do we get some others involved in support? So ECB are using this sort of circle diagram at the moment around how do we inspire more volunteers. How do we recruit them? How do we train them? How do we retain them? And then how do we recognise and tell the story around what those volunteers are achieving? And there's some great examples out there at the moment within local communities. And I think certainly one of the opportunities that certainly has definitely come about from this period of time is the fact that people are now realising that actually they want to be motivated and supported in a different way and provide something else for their community. And actually the cricket clubs could use this as a great chance to get them activated in that. So all these people that are volunteering, whether it's through their local road network or a food bank or other stuff, once they've got that inspiration, how can we make the most of that to support that and be aware of around what those chances and possibilities could be from that. And I'm sure you've got plenty of stories and probably yourselves as well who are spending time now who have available to support that local community. So thinking about how we inspire them, how we then support and train them, how do we make sure we keep them as volunteers, which I suppose is the big opportunity now we've started to volunteer, and then how do we recognise and tell that story after that? What we've decided and looked at coming from this, actually it breaks down into three areas. One of the challenges around volunteering is actually it's so broad, and it's such a broad stroke that when you say, I want you to volunteer for my cricket club, people aren't quite sure what that actually requires, and they know the volunteers, but actually what are we actually looking for them to volunteer in? Are we being specific and clear around what we want them to do or what we need help in around our club? And I would ask you and your clubs at the moment to think of this possibly in three different areas around what's the volunteers we need for leadership of the club. What kind of volunteers and what kind of skill set do we need from leaders to actually help us get through this current situation, but when we come out of it, the opportunities and what the future looks like, and what skill set And what do we know? Finding those next chairmen, those next treasurers, those next secretaries, whatever it may be, or development managers around that point. So I think that's quite a key point. And next, the next target area is very much around what kind of volunteers do we need just to help us activate playing and getting people playing the game. And again, there's some great examples from clubs at the moment of being creative in terms of how they're managing to keep their membership actively involved in the game or supporting their club. So that's a different skill set as well. But you start to break down where those volunteers could come into it. And then finally, as every club now needs to find a different way of income or support for their club, and again, some great examples coming through, actually volunteers who can help us around event management and activating social side of our club or the facility itself, and looking at how that can become a real hub for the community as we move forward. So once you've looked at those three target areas, is it possible then to focus around four target groups that we can work on to actually maybe identify people to fill those roles? And that could be we've split into young people. Again, some great experience and examples have found using people on their Duke of Edinburgh scheme, right through to people doing their BTEC courses, to just naturally young groups within your age groups helping you out with your junior sessions, certainly around umpiring, scoring, or just acting as an extra pair of hands. Key part of volunteering always gets missed out is just the captains themselves and the players. How they play a vital part. We've all been there on a Saturday putting out the rope and setting up the games and supporting. But actually, how can we communicate and support them as well in understanding what their role is and how they can support the club? Your parents and the community itself. So we all look for our volunteers sometimes within our club, but can we actually look outside of that as well and the ripple effect within our membership? So if you're fortunate enough to have 50 or 60 kids, that potentially could be opening up another 100 adults that you could be sort of activating. And then on top of that, their grandparents, their aunties, their uncles who might want to actively get involved. And as we said, the number of people who are now working within their local communities and supporting their communities at the moment, how do we activate them and keep them actively involved with supporting that as we go through? And then there's basically, as we know, and if you look at the demographic of East Anglia, there is a high percentage of numbers of those senior players or retired members, as well as already it's been picked up in a number of news articles. People are starting to question the current work that they're doing and actually, do I want to be doing this kind of work, or actually is something else that I can benefit or get more motivation and support from? So actually, how do we sell and prepare to present what we can offer as a cricket club that might help people around that daily motivation to support them in terms of moving forward? The key bit then, once you've activated and got those groups, is how do we keep them happy from that point? And I would certainly say that communication is massive around this. We're all finding that at the moment, there are different ways of communicating and supporting, but actually questioning you as a club and as your group, how do we communicate with those volunteers at the moment? How do we update them and clarify what we're actually looking for them to do and support within our club? And how open are we into... We all have a tendency to control things because we know we can look after it. How open are we to someone else having a bit of an opportunity and a bit of leadership and a chance to take on that role? So, as we are doing today, how can we use this time to maybe sort of run some briefings and some support and some ideas with our volunteers around what might be able to be activated through now or through the season? Can we use things like Zoom and Teams to actually sort of get some briefings, catch up with our current volunteers that we have with the club, look at opportunities to come through? And again, there's some really prime examples of clubs that are doing this and starting to activate through this period of time, but actually starting to prepare what the cricket club might look like in the future and how that supports within that community. All of you have got a number of community committed volunteers at your clubs at the moment. Could you use this time to promote them? Could you, as a chance to thank them and actually to say, this is the role this person's played. This is what's been able to be achieved through that club, and really start to identify maybe those two or three that aren't so prominent at your club, who sort of, without people noticing, are just in the background, but just do those vital bits that really help to make sure that club runs. And actually, how can we the profile they play within supporting your local community? Because obviously that's quite a key word at the moment in terms of roles that people are playing into doing that. making sure and just reassessing that your volunteers and your people have the right contacts. Who's the person that looks after those three key areas? Who is the main contact for them around activating play and cricket in the site? Who's the main contact for them around social activities? Who do they need to speak to and support around that point? And then I think the big one we can certainly do, and it's a real opportunity at the moment, again, using what is available to us, is celebrating the success of those volunteers that have. And there's some, like, the stuff that's come out on the unfortunate recent passing, someone like Hayden Davies, who played a massive part and volunteered for the work and development of cricket in this game, which we're all thankful for in terms of how he supported that. But taking chance to celebrate that success and recognising those key volunteers you've had in your club that might just inspire another person to follow in that footsteps, or to get involved and help your club to go through that period, or your team, or your organisation as it is. So I think let's really think about how we use this time to communicate what the important role our volunteers play and how we can move them forward as we come through that point. Even simple things like how working out actually what the income cost or the cost in kind is of those volunteers to the membership in terms of everything. So I know a few clubs have used that kind of communication where they say, well, look, your membership is £50 a year, but by the fact that three or four people volunteer, it's actually taking it down from the true cost, which would be £100 a year. So, like, using these chances now to really evaluate what the roles and opportunities those volunteers play within your club is a key chance for us here. Then the focus around how do we actually advertise these roles? And when we did the webinar or did this presentation back in January at the roadshows, it was a key point around actually how do we promote what we do? Why can't we take the learnings that we do from our daily businesses or our work to actually think about properly advertising these roles, almost putting together a bit of a job description? People seem to be, the volunteers we've interacted with, if you're really clear around what you want them to do and what the objective and the outcome is, they tend to be a little bit more supportive around coming. If you just ask someone to volunteer and they're not quite sure what they're committing to and actually how that plays a part in their daily lives, So being really clear around who's going to support them and manage them, what the role that will have in terms of their club and coming through, but also for your own safety and security, making sure that that person is the right person. So it's great that you've got a volunteer coming through, but actually have they got the right skill sets and the right knowledge to be actually help you to benefit what you're looking for? Or might you need to signpost them to a slightly different part of the club to support them? And obviously just some bits, making sure that you get the right checks on them done there. So I'm just going to pass to Phil, and he'll just go a little bit around the DBS bits around safeguarding the volunteers and stuff. So, Phil?
Yeah, thanks, Dan, for that. And just to clarify a couple of things about DBS and vetting. As people will be aware of, tried logging on, there's a temporary suspension for club verifiers while the present socialisation carries on. That's partly because the service has been overwhelmed with the volunteers volunteering for the NHS supportive services. They all need DBSs. Effectively speaking, we can verify important roles between Dan and myself. That would be particularly people who have got and are planning to do online sessions or direct contact with young people over platforms like Zoom. And if you have got any concerns, questions about that, then I'm running a regular Tuesday 4 p.m. Safeguarding session, so please come back to me about individual circumstances on that, or drop me an email. But for the captains, the volunteers, the organisers who have got nothing effectively to do at the moment until the lockdown clears, their extension to DBSs will just have to wait. We can't vet hundreds of that between the two of us in terms of doing it online. As I say, if there's any individual ones, please come back to me and discuss either this afternoon, or drop me an email and we can sort out the whole area about DBS vetting. General reminder about safe hands. For those who haven't been on a refresher lately, they've improved the website. So literally Googling either the contacts there or safe hand, ECB cricket safe hands will bring up all the policies. We're going to go on to the slide. Do you want to come back now, Dan, or
I'll just finish this bit and then I'll come back to you around the safe.
Yeah, go on then. Yeah.
Okay, so I think the key bit we're looking for is for you to think about really focusing and using this as a professional setup now in your clubs. You are all small or medium and some large businesses. So the same way you would create that is use this almost going through the same process around, have I got a clear job description? Am I clear what my volunteers are that I'm looking to help my club? Rather than saying I need a load of volunteers, as we said right at the start, that's quite a broad stroke. Can I be really clear around where, which specific area those three targeted groups do I need volunteers in? Is it my contingency for leadership? Is it to help me activate playing the game? Or is it around actually activating our hub and our club going forward? And then as you would do with that, and I think, again, here's a great chance for you in time, obviously within your daily lives, can we use this as an opportunity to really make sure we review how often do we actually speak to our volunteers and get their feedback around actually what they think that might be an opportunity for us to improve in our club or within recruiting other volunteers or actually in terms of just the experience they've had. Again, even a simple question, are they happy to carry on volunteering or are we just assuming they're going to happy to volunteer? I know there's a few people on here that certainly are aware of that situation, that there's an almost an expectation that they'll carry on in their role without actually people really reviewing that and supporting them around that next stage and everything. And be really clear with them. Just ask them. It's amazing how surprised some people are if you just spend the time to ask them, well, what could we do differently with our club? What have you noticed that we can take and support? And make them feel part of that and have ownership within that club and go through. So, again, using this time, you might do it as a Zoom and have a few volunteers on there, or you might just take time to phone up that volunteer that only gives you 2 or 3 hours a week, but that plays a vital part and actually get their input into it rather than just them expecting that they're gonna show up again once we start playing and get back into activating. So again, the key things for us through this volunteer is to try and narrow down your true understanding of what you were looking for from your volunteers. Start to treat them and think of them more like you would do if you were appointing or recruiting staff for a business or a job, because I say you are all small, medium or large businesses really, with some of you got some quite good turnovers as we've, again, supporting you and working with you at the moment through the current situation. And then just using this time to really communicate with those volunteers and go back and spend some time. Again, think of yourselves, how much of a motivation will it give you if someone from the club phoned you up and said, oh, we're really thankful that you spend those 4 or 5 hours a week helping us cut the outfield. We're not currently 100% sure what the state of play is in returning, but just interested in your thoughts of the club. What could we be doing? What ideas? And it might be something that comes out, as we've seen with a few clubs, around ideas in terms of how, what role the club could play currently. So moving forward, and I'll give you, and there's a number of examples, but one example I've seen from a club is that through their speaking to their volunteers, they've now activated an alternative cricket tee this weekend. And what would have been the first home game is now members are turning up to provide food for the local food bank. And the volunteers have set that up themselves. And that just came from a conversation with one of the volunteers, only does a couple hours a week, and said, what can we do? What could we engage this site? So using this as a real process around communication and reflecting on those volunteers is key. But again, following this, if you've got any questions or thoughts or ideas, then please sort of stay in touch with the team and we can help you through. But as Phil hinted, we're going to just make sure we just focus. A key part of this is obviously the safeguarding of our clubs and the volunteers that we have working in there. So I'm just going to pass over to Phil, who's the Essex County Welfare Officer, and we'll go through the safeguarding section.
Okay, thanks, Dan. First slide is very much about some contacts basically going on there. As I say, safe hands is up, but I just want to add a few things which take into account the current situation. Also, more quickly updated than the ECB site is the CPSU. Again, you can just literally Google CPSU. It stands for Child Protection and Sport Unit, and then they will take account of day-to-day advice. As I say, I've mentioned DBS. I'm happy to come back to that this evening at 4 o'clock, or if you want to email me information, obviously, to our Suffolk Embedded colleagues. Thanks, Dan. Next slide, please. Great. So what I've said really is, obviously, we want to be very positive. There's some really good examples at the moment from a number of clubs online that have maintained links with the kids and are obviously going to be hopefully in a position to quickly get into action once this lockdown is lifted, however that comes, however it's staged. But there's lots of opportunities that we can actually do. So what I don't want to do is send out a message about the dangers or the concerns. but we obviously need to make sure that we're getting new club members in. Thanks, Dan. Next one, please. There are some of the risks in a sense. The idea of, and these have been collated from the CPSU, but also from the police and other safeguarding institutions. There's the idea that as soon as people who want to make an inappropriate relationship with young people recognise that clubs are using different formats, then they will make an attempt to crash in on these, possibly set up false identities. And obviously with that comes the concern about young people being contacted, about groomed, and sometimes thinking they're talking to somebody from the club, but actually it's somebody who's invaded it or set up a false profile. There's also the impact that can happen within the club. Clubs using it very appropriately, but then within peer groups within the club, negative comments. So it needs to be really carefully monitored by all those people involved in it. And it's just making sure that those we don't lose any of the vital information. We keep it responsibly. Next slide about Zoom. Coming on to Zoom. Obviously, this Zoom platform is really impressive. I think people are coming to understand it better. It's still taking us a little bit of time to find out the most effective way. And you'll note, everybody joining today, that Dan had to let them into the meeting, which is a safer way of doing it than rather than just setting up the Zoom where people can just drift in. One of the concerns at the moment are people who, again, setting up false identities and they're bombing that. And also, anybody who sends on an invitation, there's no tracking of that. So Zoom's meeting is very positive. There's some brilliant examples with 100 plus kids being involved already. So it's very much the future, and hopefully within clubs there will be people who are confidently using it, but and hopefully those people will be aware of all the concerns that we've got. So the biggest concern is third parties joining it with a false identity. The biggest issue around that is potentially setting up sessions to continue to communicate with young people outside of that particular meeting, exchange information, even potentially arrange to meet to have some sort of social setting. So Zoom, I think we keep an eye on. I think Zoom as an organisation has had a rapid increase in terms of membership, and they are freely admitting that they can't keep up with some of the security issues which they would hope in the future. I think we just need to be making sure that we can. As I say, there's more and more information about Zoom coming out, but as I said, today's meeting was pretty good example of good practice about making sure that whoever's organising it logs people in, keeps a record. I've met very briefly, TikTok is has increased over the last year incredibly, and one of the things that TikTok has replaced is the idea where kids can send short video clips around of themselves. Now that's great when it's around cricket related tasks, keeping things in the air, keeping balls in the air, catches bouncing, some brilliant stuff out there. The problem is that sometimes some of these tasks get into risky areas and association with other people. So we need to be really careful. If those tasks are associated with your club, they are monitored. And in a sense, I would hope that the welfare officers or other people who've got social media skills are monitoring that.
Okay. So, Phil, just give you an example of that TikTok. So one of the big schools that we work with in Essex did a TikTok event. Just some of you might have seen this idea of standing in a handstand position and then changing your t-shirt while you're on. They sent it out thinking it was quite an innocent opportunity. They quickly had to take it down when they realised their pupils hadn't worked out that it might be worth wearing a vest underneath their t-shirts or having a second t-shirt. So just really think about when you're setting your activities up, what is the worst case scenario that could happen from that? Again, the school just got into a bit of a tricky situation that they've managed really well from that and supported, and again Phil's helped them out with some points around that. But again, it's great, but when you think these tasks up which look really, really good and couple, just think of what potentially is the worst case scenario that could come from that situation. Sorry, Phil.
No, that's excellent. As I say, I think the more examples we share of examples of good practice, but also awareness of poor practice. And as I say, what we don't want to do is having kids encouraged to do anything which has any form of risk or discredit them, discredit the club, or inappropriate, and certainly the safety issues around that. Final bit I just want to mention is something called phishing, spelled PH. Some of you may have come across this, but it's effectively speaking when people are hijacking. I'm sure the days when people would be sending emails to transfer huge sums of money to parts of West Africa are very clearly, but are now incredibly sophisticated. A lot of this I've been dealing with the police on that, and the police officer dealing exactly in this area was subject to fraud himself. He said, if it happens to him, it can happen to anyone. The concern with clubs is that people are thinking that offering clubs opportunities to make money, do that, invest in this, and give information about any personal data, but particularly any links to accounts, any promises of transferring money, loans, outside of ECB and government ones. Just be very, very aware of it and check it out, and make sure that everybody is very aware that it's not as easy as it used to be to spot some of these links. They are incredibly sophisticated. We'll often use logos which they've lifted from direct sources. So anything that actually asks you to take on, check the email address. If the email address is appropriate, but if it's certainly outside of .co.uk, obscure ones, then be very, very concerned. If you're any in doubt, just check it out. But as I say, if anybody gets any examples, please send us around so we can spot them really quickly. Last point, which I will come back to on another session, is I know a lot of clubs are thinking about the summer and planning for the summer. Well, we'll do another session around that, about making sure that if we are setting up extended sessions in the summer, they're done taking full account of all good safeguarding practice. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Just to round up, like I said, these webinars have been designed as sort of 30 minutes sort of thought-provoking and ideas. And again, hopefully we'll go to our final minutes, see if there's any questions. But if there are any that come from this, or when you go away and think, please get in touch with your relevant counties connections. So obviously in Essex, that's Arfan and Graham for club support, and then Phil around safeguarding. You'll see on the screen we have the other counties, and part of this webinar program is around working collectively with our fellow national counties. So I'm just going to pass over to Ben Wallace from Cambridge here, just in case he's got anything to add as well. Ben?
Thanks, Dan. Just picking up points on the from the volunteering point of view, in terms of that reward and recognition, obviously every year you'll probably all be aware of the Oscars, and for the past at least 4 years I've been working closely with Graham at Essex around the regional Oscars, and we, along with Essex, we invite the other national counties down to celebrate the success of their nominations and their winners. Obviously, this year we don't know exactly what that's going to look like yet, but we still will encourage you guys when it comes out to really promote that across your clubs and rewarding the great work that all of the volunteers do out there. So, like I said, we don't know exactly timescales and bits and pieces yet, but when we do, we'll get that message out there and let people know.
Thanks, Ben. Sam from Cricket East, have you got anything you'd like to add?
Not just to reiterate the points that have been made so far, and thank you guys at Essex for allowing us to take part and share all of this information with our clubs as well. I think most of the clubs on the call, hopefully from Beston Hunts, will know my contact details. But yeah, just to reiterate that point as well, that we are here if they need us. So any of the points raised today or any questions that might fall out of that, please do feel free to get in touch with either myself or our county welfare officers, whose details are on the screen.
Rob from Suffolk.
Yeah, hi Dan, thanks for that. And just really firstly, thanks to Essex for obviously organising these webinars. They're all very useful. For me, just on the volunteering, just for clubs in general, really use this as an opportunity to start putting together your job descriptions for any roles that you've got within your club. It's an ideal time to start putting those together and start, you know, looking to advertise those out there. And I think, as Dan said earlier, is that it's a great opportunity. You know, you're looking at obviously the number of people that are volunteering at the moment. So look into any sort of related themes that you can tie into your club as well, and try and get ahead of the game, because, you know, we're going to recognise that other sports and other organisations are going to look to do this. So certainly try to sort of, you know, get that information out there and start recruiting now. Thank you.
Arfan, have you had any questions come through?
Firstly, I'll just read a point out from Mr. Smith. I think it's interesting, probably for everybody. TikTok is a Chinese-owned platform owned by ByteDance and has very low security. Also, like Snapchat, holds all content in storage. Two questions. One, Grant Smith has kindly answered but I'll say it out. Petra said, how do the clubs get notified? RE Oscars. As we had nothing last year, thanks. Graham's replied to me saying Oscars get out via CDMS and on Essex website. One assumes Cambridge and colleagues from Hunts is the same process in Suffolk.
Should I just answer the query from Ollie Peck?
Let's get the first one out of the way. The Oscars.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Colleagues from other parts, Cricket East.
And I jumped in there from CAMS. It's all goes out by direct central mailing system to the clubs through their affiliation process and through the website, social media, etc.
Yeah. Hi, Arthur. It's Rob from Suffolk here, and it's the same process for us in our county as well.
Thank you. And Sam, assuming the same, mate.
Yeah. Same with us.
Brilliant. Thank you. And Phil, I will throw you onto this question. I'll quickly read, even though it's to Dan. It says, from a safeguarding perspective, is there any specific guidance relating to Zoom video conferencing, particularly with virtual training sessions for junior cricketers? I think it's on the back of Upminster doing a brilliant session for over 140 kids on Friday and over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the answer to that one is that I've spoken to the ECB safeguarding team and I've sent them these slides. As they're not in a position at the moment to send out any information. They've said they've approved all the content I've put in it. As I say, it's been collated from CPSU, from police and other organisations. So at the moment, that is basically the basics of organising Zoom meetings. Just be aware of the fact, as this example it has been today, where you ask people have to be invited to join. They don't just drop into sessions. They have to be invited. I suspect when it gets as big as the Upminster, 140, that's going to be very challenging to do. But as I say, that would be best practiced, making sure that you know who is joining. And it's only specific invitations that are sent out to the time and date that are allowed into your Zoom presentation. Outside of that, considerable risks.
Thank you. I'll answer the next one from Diru. Yes, Dan?
Just to follow up, the guidance, following on from Phil's guidance that we got set for junior sessions, looking at the academy and the pathway was similar. You make sure that the coaches running it, as if any session have got DVS involved, have got all their safeguarding and their qualifications up to date. And as you would do with any other communication, the communication to under 18s goes via the parents' emails. And they're aware of actually applicating on that. So your same processes you would put in place in terms of, like Phil says, a signing in process at the start, but your communication is as it would be with the adults, and then they set up the email address and the meeting and that are involved with the session, and that your coaches running it are actively in, are up to date with all their qualifications and requirements as well. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, super helpful. Just a couple. Diru's, can you ensure the presentations are emailed? Still waiting presentation last Friday. Diru, just to confirm, there's a landing page which on the next alerts I will make sure it's there. There's a landing page under Essex Cricket Community called COVID-19 where all the presentations, including last Friday's, is now live. But leave that with me on the next, for Thursday's presentation, I'll make sure that there is a direct link on that landing page, which includes the presentation. Does a parent need to be present on the Zoom sessions?
Well, my understanding, ideally then, yes, but they don't, as long as the email's gone through with the parent and you've got all those procedures in place in terms of having the coach with CBS safeguarding and those processes.
Brilliant. Those are all the questions. Thank you so much for sending them.
Okay, and again, if you're obviously going to have more questions come through, you've got the contacts for the club and support. As I said, these webinars are supposed to be very much thought-provoking, going away with one or two things to think about. Thank you all so much for giving up your afternoon and for coming on. Thank you to Phil, Ben, Sam and Rob and Arfan for their support. As you might have heard or you've seen, the next one is on Thursday at 5 o'clock, which will be grounds maintenance. So again, please pass it around your club to the people involved with that. We have Stuart Kerrison, the head groundsman at Essex, and Phil Jego from the Groundsman Association, who'll be leading that webinar for us. So that'll be 5 o'clock, and we'll send the links out again. But as Arfan says, you can find all the notes, the links and everything on the Essex Cricket website as we go through. So thank you very much. Thank you for all the hard work you do within your clubs and support. Please stay safe, and we'll hopefully see you again soon.
Yeah. And just a quick reminder about the note on our fan thing, that each Tuesday 4 p.m. Anybody who wants to log on casually to a Zoom session, just bring up any individual items, please do. It's in our fan's timetable, but as I say, 4 p.m. on a Zoom meeting, all the link is on our fan's note. Thank you. Have a good day.